and runs around to the passenger side to open my door. "So gentlemanly tonight," I say, which makes him grin. We walk up to the diner, and he opens the door for me grandly. "I could get used to this royal treatment," I say.
"Hey, I opened doors for you,"
he protests. We walk inside, and I stop short. Our booth, the one we always sit in, has pale pink balloons tied around it. There's a round cake in the center of the table, tons of candles, pink frosting with sprinkles, and "Happy Birthday, Lara Jean" scrawled in white frosting. Suddenly, I see people's heads pop up from under the booths and from behind menus. All of our friends still in their prom finery. Lucas, Gabe, Gabe's date Keisha, Darrell, Pammy, Chris. "Surprise!" everyone screams. I spin around. "Oh my God, Peter!" He's still grinning. He looks at his watch.
"It's midnight. Happy birthday, Lara Jean."
I leap up and hug him. "This is just exactly what I wanted to do on my prom night birthday, and I didn't even know it." Then I let go of him and run over to the booth. Everyone gets out and hugs me. "I didn't even know people knew it was my birthday tomorrow. I mean today," I say.
"Of course we knew it was your birthday," Lucas says.
Darrell says,
"My boy's been planning this for weeks."
"It was so endearing," Pammy says. "He called me to ask what kind of pan he should use for the cake." Chris says,
"He called me, too. I was like, how the hell should I know?"
"And you," I hit Chris on the arm. "I thought you were leaving to go clubbing." "I still might, after I steal some fries."
"My night's just getting started, babe."
She pulls me in for a hug and gives me a kiss on the cheek.
"Happy birthday, girl."
I turn to Peter and say, "I can't believe you did this."
"I baked that cake myself,"
he brags.
"Box, but still."
He takes off his jacket and pulls a lighter out of his jacket pocket and starts lighting the candles. Gabe pulls out a lit candle and helps him. Then Peter hops his butt on the table and sits down, his legs hanging off the edge.
"Come on."
I look around. That's when I hear the opening notes of "If You Were Here" by the Thompson Twins. My hands fly to my cheeks. I can't believe it. Peter's recreating the end scene from 16 Candles, when Molly Ringwald and Jake Ryan sit on a table with a birthday cake in between them. When we watched the movie a few months ago, I said it was the most romantic thing I'd ever seen. And now he's doing it for me.
"Hurry up and get up there before all the candles melt, Lara Jean," Chris calls out.
Darrell and Gabe help hoist me onto the table, careful not to set my dress on fire. Peter says,
"Okay, now you look at me adoringly, and I lean forward like this."
Chris comes forward and puffs out my skirt a bit.
"Roll up your sleeve a little higher,"
she instructs Peter, looking from her phone to us. Peter obeys, and she nods.
"Looks good, looks good."
Then she runs back to her spot and starts to snap. It takes no effort on my part at all to look at Peter adoringly tonight. When I blow out the candles and make my wish, I wish that I will always feel for Peter the way I do right now. Chapter 23. The neighborhood pool always opens up on Memorial Day weekend. When we were little, Margo and I would count down the days. Our mom would pack ham and cheese sandwiches wrapped in wax paper, carrot sticks, and a big jug of apple water. Apple water was watered-down sugar-free apple juice, but mostly water. I begged for soda out of the machine, or fruit punch, but no.
Mommy would slather us up with sunscreen the same way she slathered butter on a turkey. Kitty used to scream her head off. She was too impatient for the rub down. Kitty's always been impatient. She always wanted more, now. It's funny how much of who we are as babies is how we are as we get older. I'd never have known it if it weren't for Kitty. She still makes the same screwy faces. Kitty isn't doing swim team this year. She says it isn't fun anymore now that none of her friends are doing it. When she didn't know I was watching, I saw her looking at the meet schedule on the community board with wistfulness in her eyes. I guess that's part of growing up, too, saying goodbye to the things you used to love. Everyone's lawns are freshly cut, and the air smells of clovers and green. The first crickets of summer are chirping. This is the soundtrack of my summer and every summer. Peter and I have staked our claim on the lounge chairs farthest away from the kiddie pool because it's less noisy. I'm studying for my French final, or trying to at least. "Come over here so I can get your shoulders first," I call out to Kitty, who's standing by the pool with her friend Brielle. "You know I don't burn," she calls back. And it's true, her shoulders are already tanned like golden brioche. By the end of summer, they'll be dark as the crust on whole wheat bread. Kitty's hair is slicked back, a towel around her shoulders. She's all arms and legs now. "Just come over here," I say. Kitty trots over to the lounge chairs Peter and I are sitting on, her flip-flops clacking against the pavement. I spray her with the sunscreen and rub it into her shoulders. It doesn't matter if you don't burn. Protect your skin so you don't end up looking like an old leather bag. That's what Stormy used to tell me. Kitty giggles at old leather bag. "Like Mrs. Letty. Her skin is hot dog colored." Well, I wasn't talking about any one person in particular, but yeah, she should have worn sunscreen in her younger days. Let that be a lesson to you, my sister. Mrs. Letty is our neighbor, and her skin hangs on her like crepe. Peter puts on his sunglasses.
"You guys are mean,"
says the guy who once toilet papered her lawn. Kitty giggles and steals a sip of my Coke. "You did that?"
"All lies and propaganda," Peter says blithely.
As the day heats up, Peter convinces me to put down my French book and jump in the pool with him. The pool is crowded with little kids, no one as old as us. Steve Bladell has a pool at his house, but I wanted to come here for old time's sake. "Don't you dare dunk me," I warn. Peter starts circling me like a shark, coming closer and closer. "I'm serious." He makes a dive for me and grabs me by the waist, but he doesn't dunk me. He kisses me. His skin is cool and smooth against mine. So are his lips. I push him away and whisper, "Don't kiss me. There are kids around."
"So?"
"So nobody wants to see teenagers kissing in the pool where kids are trying to play. It isn't right." I know I sound like a priss, but I don't care. When I was little and there were teenagers horsing around in the pool, I always felt nervous to go in because it was like the pool was theirs. Peter burst out laughing.
"You're funny, Covey."
Swimming sideways, he says,
"It isn't right,"
and then starts laughing again. The lifeguard blows the whistle for adult swim, and all the kids get out, including Peter and me. We go back to the lounge chairs, and Peter pushes them closer together. I turn on my side, and squinting up at the sun, I ask him, "How old do you think you have to be to stay in the pool for adult swim? 18 or 21?
"I don't know, 21.
He's scrolling on his phone. "Maybe it's 18. We should ask." I put on my sunglasses and start to sing 16 going on 17 from The Sound of Music. "You need someone older and wiser telling you what to do." I tap him on the nose for emphasis.
"Hey, I'm older than you," he objects.
I run my hand along Peter's cheek and sing,
I am 17, going on 18. I'll take care of you.
Promise, he says.
Sing it just once for me, I prompt. Peter gives me a look.
Please, I love it when you sing. Your voice is so clean.
He can't help but smile. Peter never met a compliment he didn't smile at.
I don't know the words, he protests.
Yes, you do. I pretend to wave a wand in his face.
Imperio!
Wait, do you know what that means?
It's an unforgivable curse?
Yes! Very impressive, Peter Kay. And what does it do?
It makes you do things you don't want to do.
Very good, young wizard. There's hope for you yet. Now sing!
You little witch.
He looks around to see if anyone is listening, and then he softly sings.
I need someone older and wiser telling me what to do. You are 17, going on 18. I'll depend on you.
I clap my hands in delight. Is there anything more intoxicating than making a boy bend to your will? I roll closer to him and throw my arms around his neck.
Now you're the one making PDAs, he says.
You really do have a pretty voice, Peter. You never should have quit chorus.
The only reason I ever took chorus is because all the girls were in chorus.
Well, then forget about joining a chorus at UVA. No a cappella groups either. I mean it to be a joke, truly, but Peter looks bothered.
I'm kidding! Join all the a cappella groups you want. The Hullabaloos are all guys anyway.
I don't want to join an a cappella group, and I'm not planning on looking at other girls either.
Oh. Of course you'll look at other girls. You have eyes, don't you? I swear, it's just as silly as when people say they don't see color. Everyone sees everyone. You can't help but see.
That's not what I meant.
I know, I know. I sit up and put my French book back in my lap. Are you really not going to study at all for your U.S. history final on Wednesday?
All I need to do at this point is pass,
he reminds me.
It must be nice, it must be nice, I sing.
Hey, it's not like William and Mary is taking away your spot if you get a C in French, Peter says.
I'm not worried about French. I'm worried about my calculus exam on Friday.
Okay, well, it's not like they'll kick you out for getting a C in calculus either.
I guess so, but I still want to finish well, I say. The countdown is really on. Now that May is nearly over, just one more week left of school. I stretch out my arms and legs and squint up into the sun and let out a happy sigh.
Let's come here every day next weekend.
I can't. I'm going on that training weekend, remember?
Already?
Yeah. It's weird that the season is over and we won't be playing any more games together.
Our school's lacrosse team didn't make it to state championships. They knew it was a long shot, because as Peter likes to say,
there's only one of me.
Ha! Next weekend he's off to a training camp with his new team at UVA. Are you excited to meet your teammates? I ask him.
I already know a few of the guys, but yeah, it'll be cool.
He reaches over and starts braiding a section of my hair.
I think I'm getting better at this.
You have the whole summer to practice, I say, leaning forward so he can reach more of my hair. He doesn't say anything. Chapter 24. The end of school always has a particular feeling to it. It's the same every year, but this year the feeling is amplified, because there won't be a next year. There's an air of things closing down. Teachers wear shorts and t-shirts to class. They show movies while they clean out their desks.
Nobody has the energy to care anymore. We're all just counting down, passing time. Everyone knows where they're going, and the right now already feels like it's in the rear view. Suddenly, life feels fast and slow at the same time. It's like being in two places at once. Finals go well. Even calculus isn't as bad as I thought. And just like that, my high school career is coming to an end. Peter's gone away on his training weekend. It's only been one day, and I'm already longing for him the way I long for Christmas in July. Peter is my cocoa in a cup, my red mittens, my Christmas morning feeling. He said he'd call as soon as he gets back from the gym, so I keep my phone by my side with the volume up. Earlier this morning, he called when I was in the shower, and by the time I saw it, he was gone again. Is this what the future looks like? It'll be different when I have classes and a schedule of my own, but for now it feels like I'm standing on top of a lighthouse, waiting for my love's ship to come in. For a romantic kind of person, it's not an altogether unpleasant feeling, not for now anyway. It'll be different when it's not so novel anymore, when not seeing him every day is the new normal. But for now, just for now, longing is its own kind of perverse delight. Late afternoon, I go downstairs in my long white nightgown that Margot says makes me look like Little House on the Prairie, and Kitty says makes me look like a ghost. I sit at the counter with one leg up and open a can of cling peaches and eat them with a fork right out of the can. There's something so satisfying about biting into the skin of a syrupy cling peach. I let out a sigh, and Kitty looks up from her computer and says, "What are you sighing about so loudly?" "I miss Christmas." I bite into another slice of peach. She brightens. "So do I. I think we should get a few deer to go in our front yard this year. Not the cheap kind, the classy wire kind that come covered in lights." I sigh again and set down the can. "Sure." The syrup is starting to feel heavy in my stomach. "Quit sighing." "Why does sighing feel so good?" I muse. Kitty heaves a big sigh. "Well, it's basically the same thing as breathing, and it feels good to breathe. Air is delicious." "It is, isn't it?" I spear another slice of peach. "I wonder where you buy those kinds of deer. Target will probably sell them." "We should go to that store, the Christmas Mouse. We can stock up on a bunch of stuff. Don't they have one in Williamsburg?" "Yeah, on the way to the outlet malls. You know, we could use a new wreath, too. And if they have lavender lights, that could be cool. It would give it a winter fairyland kind of feeling. Maybe the whole tree could be in pastels." Dryly, she says, "Let's not get carried away." I ignore her. "Don't forget that Trina has a lot of her own holiday stuff. She has a whole Christmas village, remember? It's all packed away in those boxes in the garage." Trina's village isn't just a little nativity scene. It has a barber shop and a bakery and a toy store. It's intense. "I don't even know where we'll put it." She shrugs. "We'll probably have to throw away some of our old stuff." God, Kitty doesn't have an ounce of sentimentality in her. In that same practical tone, she adds, "Not everything we have is so great anyway. Our tree skirt is scraggly and chewed up looking. Why keep something just because it's old? New is almost always better than old, you know?" I look away. Our mom bought that tree skirt at a Christmas fair the elementary school had. One of the PTA moms was a knitter. Margot and I fought over which to pick. She liked the red with tartan trim, and I liked the white because I thought it would look like our tree was standing in snow. Mommy went with the red because she said the white would get dirty fast. The red has held up well, but Kitty's right. It's probably time to retire it. I'll never let her throw it away, though, and neither will Margot. At the very least, I'll cut off a square and put it in my hat box for safekeeping. "Trina has a nice tree skirt," I say. "It's white fur,
Jamie Fox Pickle will love to snuggle with it. My phone buzzes, and I jump to see if it's Peter, but it's only Daddy saying he's picking up Thai food for dinner, and do we want Pad Thai or Pad CU? I sigh again.
I swear, Lara Jean, if you sigh one more time,
Kitty threatens. Eyeing me, she says, I know it's not really Christmas you're missing. Peter's been gone for like one day, and you're acting like he went off to war or something.
I ignore her and type back Pad CU out of pure spite, because I know Kitty prefers Pad Thai. That's when I get the email notification. It's from UNC Admissions. My application has been updated. I click on the link. Congratulations. I'm off the wait list.
What in the what?
I sit there, stunned, reading it over and over. I, Lara Jean Song Covey, was accepted to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I can't believe it. I never thought I'd get in. But I'm in. Lara Jean! Hello!
Startled, I look up.
I just asked you a question three times. What's up with you?
I think I just got into UNC Chapel Hill.
Kitty's jaw drops.
Whoa!
Weird, right?
I shake my head in wonder. Who'd have ever thought it? Not me. I'd all but forgotten about UNC after I got waitlisted.
UNC is a really hard school to get into, Lara Jean.
I know.
I'm still in a daze. After I didn't get into UVA, I felt so low, like I wasn't good enough to be there. But UNC? It's even harder to get into UNC out of state than it is UVA in state.
Kitty's smile fades a little.
But aren't you going to William and Mary? Didn't you already send in your deposit? And aren't you transferring to UVA next year anyway?
UVA. For those few seconds, I forgot about transferring to UVA, and I was just happy about UNC.
That's the plan, I say. My phone buzzes, and my heart jumps, thinking it's Peter, but it's not. It's a text from Chris.
Want to go to Starby?
I write back, guess what? I got into UNC.
OMG, I'm calling you.
A second later, my phone rings, and Chris screams,
holy shit!
Thank you! I mean, wow, it's such a great school. I figured...
So what are you gonna do?
She demands. Oh, I glance over at Kitty, who is watching with eagle eyes. Nothing. I'm still going to William and Mary.
But isn't UNC a better school?
It's higher ranked. I don't know. I've never been there.
Let's go,
she says.
To visit? When?
Right now! Spontaneous road trip!
Are you crazy? It's 4 hours away.
No, it's not. It's only 3 hours and 25 minutes. I just looked it up.
By the time we get there, it'll be 6 o'clock.
Big deal. We'll walk around, get dinner, and then drive back.
Why not?
We're young, and you need to know what you're saying no to.
Before I can protest again, she says,
I'm picking you up in 10 minutes. Pack some snacks for the road.
Then she hangs up. Kitty is eyeing me. You're going to North Carolina? Right now? I'm feeling pretty euphoric at the moment. I laugh and say, I guess.
Does that mean you're going there instead of William and Mary?
No, it's just, I'm just going to visit. Nothing's changed. Don't tell Daddy, though.
Why not?
Just because. You can tell him I'm with Chris and that I won't be at dinner, but don't mention anything about UNC. And then I'm getting dressed and flying around the house like a banshee, throwing things into a tote. Dried wasabi peas, pocky sticks, bottled water. Chris and I have never gone on a road trip together before. I've always wanted to do that with her.
And what would it hurt to just look at Chapel Hill? Just to see? I won't be going there, but it's still fun to think about. Chris and I are halfway to Chapel Hill before I realize my phone is dying and I forgot to pack my charger. Do you have a car charger? I ask her. She's singing along to the radio.
Nope.
Shoot. We've eaten up most of her phone battery using the GPS, too. I feel a little uneasy about traveling out of state without a full charge on my phone. Plus, I told Kitty not to tell Daddy where I was going. What if something were to happen? What time are we getting back, do you think?
Quit worrying, Granny Lara Jean. We'll be fine.
She rolls down her window and mine and starts fumbling around for her purse. I get her purse from the floor of the back seat and pull out her cigarettes before she wrecks the car. When we're at a red light, she lights her cigarette and inhales deeply.
We'll be like pioneers. It just adds to the adventure. Our forefathers didn't have cell phones either, you know.
Just remember, we're only going to look. I'm still going to William and Mary.
You just remember, options are everything, Chris says.
That's what Margot's always telling me. Those two have more in common than they think. We spend the rest of the trip surfing radio stations and singing along and talking about whether or not Chris should dye her hair pink in the front. I'm surprised by how fast the time goes. We get to Chapel Hill in just under 3 hours and 30 minutes, like Chris said we would. We find a parking spot right on Franklin Street, which I guess is their main street. The first thing that strikes me is how similar UNC's campus is to UVA's. Lots of maple trees, lots of green, lots of brick buildings. It's so pretty, isn't it? I stop to admire a pink flowering dogwood tree. I'm surprised they have so many dogwood trees, since it's Virginia's state flower. What do you suppose is North Carolina's state flower?
No idea. Can we please eat? I'm starving.
Chris has the attention span of a fly, and when she's hungry, everybody better watch out. I put my arm around her waist. I'm suddenly feeling very tender toward her for taking me on this trip to see what might have been.
Let's fill that belly up, then. What do you want, pizza, a hoagie, Chinese food?
She puts her arm around my shoulder. Her mood is already picking up at the mention of different cuisines.
You pick. Anything but Chinese food. Or pizza. You know what, let's get sushi.
A couple of guys pass on the street, and Chris calls out,
Hey!
They turn around.
What's up?
One says. He's black, handsome, tall, with muscular arms in a Carolina wrestling t-shirt.
Where's the best sushi around here? Chris asks.
I don't eat sushi, so I can't really say.
He looks at his red-haired friend, who is less cute, but still cute.
Where do you go?
Spicy Nine, he says, eyeing Chris. Just go down Franklin that way, and you'll run right into it.
He winks at her, and they go back to walking in the other direction.
Should we go after them?
She says, her eyes following them as they walk away.
Find out what they're up to tonight?
I steer her in the direction they pointed us to. I thought you were hungry, I remind her.
Oh, yeah, she says. So that's one point in the UNC column, am I right? Hotter guys?
I'm sure William and Mary has good-looking guys, too. Quickly, I add, not that it matters to me, because I obviously have a boyfriend. Who still hasn't called, mind you. My phone is down to 5%, so by the time he does, it'll be too late. After we eat sushi, we wander around on Franklin Street, stopping in stores. I consider buying a UNC Tar Heels basketball hat for Peter, but he probably wouldn't wear it, since he'll be a Wahoo. We pass a pole with signs on it, and Chris stops short. She points to a sign for a music hall called Cat's Cradle. A band called Meow Mix is playing tonight.
Let's go, Chris says.
Have you ever heard of Meow Mix before? I ask. What kind of music do they play?
Who cares? Let's just go.
She grabs my hand. Laughing, we run down the street together. There's a line to get inside, and the band has already started to play. Snatches of dancing music float through the open door. A couple of girls are waiting in line in front of us, and Chris throws her arms around me and tells them, "My best friend just got into UNC." I feel warm inside hearing Chris call me her best friend. To know that we still matter to each other, even though she has her work friends and I have Peter, it makes me feel sure that when she's in Costa Rica or Spain or wherever she ends up, we'll still be close. One of the girls hugs me and says, "Congratulations, you're going to love it here." Her hair is in milkmaid braids, and she's wearing a t-shirt that says, "Hillary is my president." Adjusting the lollipop enamel pin in her hair, her friend says, "Put down Ihas or Craig for your dorm. They're the most fun." I feel sheepish as I say, "Actually, I'm not coming here. We just came to visit for fun." "Oh, where are you going?" she asks me, a slight frown on her freckled face. "William and Mary," I tell her.
"It's not definite, though,"
Chris butts in. "It's pretty definite," I say. "I came here over Princeton," the braided girl tells me. "That's how much I loved it when I visited. You'll see." I'm Hollis, by the way. We all introduce ourselves, and the girls tell me about the English department and going to basketball games at the Dean Dome and the places on Franklin Street that don't card. Chris, who zoned out during the English department part of the conversation, is suddenly all ears. Before we go inside, Hollis gives me her number. "Just in case you come here," she says. When we get inside, the venue is pretty full. Lots of people standing near the stage, drinking beers and dancing to the music. The band is actually just two guys with guitars and a laptop, and their sound is sort of electronica pop. It fills the whole room. It's a mixed crowd in the audience. Some older guys in rock band t-shirts and beards, closer to my dad's age, but also a lot of students. Chris tries to wipe off the stamp on her hand to get us beers, but is unsuccessful. I don't mind, because I don't really like beer, and also, she still has to drive us back tonight. I start asking around to see if anyone has a phone charger, which Chris slaps my arm for. "We're on an adventure," she yells. "We don't need cell phones for an adventure." Then she grabs my hand and pulls me along with her to the edge of the stage. We dance our way to the middle, and we jump along to the music, even though we don't know any of the songs. One of the guys went to UNC, and midway through the show, he leads the crowd in the Tar Heels fight song. "I'm a Tar Heel born, I'm a Tar Heel bred, and when I die, I'm a Tar Heel dead." The crowd goes nuts. The whole room is shaking. Chris and I don't know the words, but we shout, "Go to hell, Duke," along with everyone else. Our hair swings wildly in our faces. I'm sweaty, and suddenly I'm having the best time. "This is so much fun," I scream in Chris's face. "Same," she screams back. After the second set, Chris declares that she's hungry, so we are off into the night. We walk up the street for what feels like ages when we find a place called Cosmic Cantina. It's a tiny Mexican place with a long line, which Chris says must mean they either have good food or really cheap food. Chris and I inhale our burritos. They're stuffed full with rice and beans and melting cheese and homemade pico de gallo. It tastes pretty plain, except for the hot sauce. So hot, my lips burn. If my phone weren't dead and Chris's phone weren't nearly dead, I'd have searched online for the best burrito in Chapel Hill. But then, we might not have found this place. For some reason, it's the best burrito of my life. After we eat our burritos, I say, "What time is it? We should head back soon if we want to get back before 1. "But you've barely seen any of campus," Chris says. "Isn't there anything you want to see in particular? Like, I don't know, a boring library or something?"
Nobody knows me like you do, Chris, I say, and she bats her eyelashes. There is one place I want to see. It's in all the brochures. The old well.
Then let's go, she says.
As we walk, I ask her, does Chapel Hill seem like Charlottesville to you?
No, it seems better.
You're just like Kitty. You think everything new is better, I say.
And you think everything old is better, she counters.
She has a point there. We walk the rest of the way in companionable silence. I'm thinking about the ways UNC does and doesn't remind me of UVA. The campus is quiet, I guess because most kids have gone home for summer break. There are still people walking around, though. Girls in sundresses and sandals, and boys in khaki shorts and UNC baseball caps. We cross the green lawn, and there it is. The old well. It sits between two brick residence halls. It's a small rotunda, like a mini version of the one at UVA, and there's a drinking fountain in the center. There's a big white oak tree right behind it, and there are azalea bushes all around, hot pink, like a lipstick color Stormy used to wear. It's enchanting.
Are you supposed to make a wish or something? Chris asks, stepping up to the fountain.
I think I heard that on the first day of classes, students take a sip of water from the fountain for good luck, I say.
Either good luck or straight A's. I won't need straight A's where I'm going, but I'll take the luck.
Chris bends down to take a sip, and a couple of girls walking by caution,
frat guys pee in that fountain all the time, don't do it.
Her head snaps back up, and she jumps away from the fountain.
Ew!
Hopping down, she says,
let's take a selfie.
We can't. Our phones are dead, remember? We'll just have to have the memory in our hearts like the old days.
Good point, Chris says.
Should we hit the road? I hesitate. I don't know why, but I'm not ready to leave just yet. What if I never get to come back? I spot a bench facing one of the brick buildings and go over and sit down. Let's stay a little bit longer. I hug my knees to my chest and Chris sits down next to me. Fiddling with the stack of bracelets on her arm, she says,
I wish I could come here with you.
To college or to UNC? I'm so caught off guard by the pensive note in her voice that I don't stop to correct her, to remind her that I won't be coming here either.
Either, both?
Don't get me wrong, I'm psyched about Costa Rica. It's just, I don't know. Like, what if I'm missing out by not going to college at the same time as everybody else? She looks at me then, a question in her eyes. I say, college will be here waiting for you, Chris. Next year or the year after, whenever you want it. Chris twists around and looks out at the lawn.
Maybe. We'll see.
I can picture you here, Lara Jean.
Can't you?
I swallow. I have a plan. William and Mary for a year, then UVA.
You mean you and Peter have a plan. That's why you're holding back.
Okay, Peter and I have a plan, but that's not the only reason.
But it's the main one.
I can't deny it. The thing that's missing no matter where I go, if it's William and Mary or if it's here, is Peter.
So why not go here for a year then? Chris asks me. What's the difference if you're here or William and Mary? An hour? Either way, you're not at UVA. Why not be here?
She doesn't wait for me to answer her. She hops up and runs out onto the lawn, and she kicks off her shoes and does a series of cartwheels. What if I came here and I ended up loving it? What if, after a year, I didn't want to leave? What then? But wouldn't it be great if I loved it? Isn't that the whole point? Why bet on not loving a place? Why not take a chance and bet on happiness? I lie down and stretch my legs out on the bench and look up at the sky.
There's a canopy of tree branches high above my head. One tree sits by the building. The other is planted in the lawn. Their branches reach across the walkway and meet in the middle. What if Peter and I could be like these two trees? Far apart, but still touching. Because I think maybe I could be happy here. I think maybe I could picture myself here, too. What was it Stormy said? The last day I saw her, the day she gave me the ring. Never say no when you really want to say yes. When Chris pulls up to my house, it's just after 3 a.m., and every single light is on. Gulp. I turn to Chris. Come in with me, I plead. No way. You're on your own. I gotta go home and deal with my own mom. I hug Chris goodbye, get out of the car, and trudge up to the front steps. The door flies open as soon as I'm fumbling around in my bag for my keys. It's Kitty in her big sleep t-shirt. You're in trouble, she whispers. I step inside, and Daddy's right behind her, still dressed in his work clothes. Trina's on the couch, giving me a look like, you're in for it, and I feel sympathy for you, but also you could have at least called. Where have you been all night? He shouts. And why weren't you answering your phone? I shrink backward. I ran out of battery. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it had gotten so late. I briefly consider making a joke about how this is why millennials should wear watches, to lighten the mood, but I don't think a joke will do the trick this time. Daddy starts pacing around the living room. So why didn't you use Chris's phone? Chris's phone died too. We've been worried half to death. Kitty says you left with Chris without saying where you were going. At this, Kitty gives me a look. I was 5 seconds from calling the police, Lara Jean. If you hadn't walked in the door when you did... I'm sorry, I began. I'm really sorry. This is just so irresponsible. Daddy's muttering to himself, not even listening. Lara Jean, you might be 18, but... From the couch, Trina says, Dan, please don't say, but you're still living under my roof. It's such a cliche. Daddy spins around and says to her, It's a cliche for a reason. It's a good line. It's a very good line. Lara Jean, just tell them where you were, Kitty says, impatient. Daddy shoots an accusing look her way. Kitty, did you know where she went? She made me swear not to tell. Before he can reply, I say, I was in North Carolina with Chris. He throws his hands up in the air. In North Carolina? What in the world? You crossed state lines without even telling me, with a dead phone battery to boot? I feel sick to my stomach for worrying him. I don't know why I didn't call. I could have borrowed somebody's phone. I guess I just got carried away with the night, with being there. I didn't want to think about home or real life. I'm sorry, I whisper. I'm really, really sorry. I should have called. He shakes his head. Why were you in North Carolina? I was in North Carolina because... I pause. If I say it now, that's it. Because I got into UNC. Daddy's eyes widen. You did? That's wonderful. But what about William and Mary? Smiling, I lift my shoulders into a shrug. Trina lets out a scream and jumps up from the couch, dropping the flannel blanket she had wrapped around her and nearly tripping herself in the process. Daddy grabs me into his arms and sweeps me into a hug, and Trina joins in. Oh my God, Lara Jean, she says, slapping me on the back. You're gonna be a Tar Heel. I'm happy you're happy, Daddy says. He wipes a tear from his eyes. I'm still furious with you for not calling, but I'm also happy.
So you're really going then?
Kitty asks from her perch on the stairs. I look over at her. I smile shakily and say,
Yeah, I'm going.
Peter and I will find a way. We'll make it work. I tell them every little detail of the night. Going to a show at Cat's Cradle, eating burritos at Cosmic Cantina, the old well. Trina makes popcorn, and it's nearly dawn before any of us goes to sleep. As Daddy shuffles off to bed, Trina whispers to me,
Your daddy just aged 10 years in one night? Look at him walking like he needs a cane. Thanks to you, I'm marrying an old man.
We both start laughing, and neither of us can stop. I think we're delirious from lack of sleep. Trina rolls onto her back and kicks her legs in the air. She's laughing so hard. Kitty, who has fallen asleep on the couch, wakes up and says,
What's so funny?
Which only makes us laugh harder. On his way up the stairs, Daddy stops and turns around and shakes his head at the two of us.
You guys are already ganging up on me, he says.
Face it, Daddy, you've always lived in a matriarchy.
I blow him a kiss. He frowns.
Hey, don't think I've forgotten about you staying out all night without even a phone call home.
Whoops, maybe too soon for such gaiety. As he trudges up the stairs, I call out, I truly am sorry. Sorry for not calling, but not sorry for going.
Chapter 25. When I wake up, I loll about in my bed for a while, stretching out my arms and legs like a big X, reaching north, south, east, west. Last night feels like a dream. Is it really true? Am I really going to UNC?
Yes! Yes, I really am. How crazy! How thrilling that your whole life trajectory can change in just one night! I've always been scared of change, but right now I don't feel that way. I feel excited. I'm seeing now what a privilege it is to be excited about where I'm going. Peter and Chris and Lucas, they're going where they want to go. But my future felt like a second choice, because it was, no matter how great a school William and Mary is. UNC is a choice I didn't even know I had, like a door that magically appeared. A door that could lead anywhere. When I'm done with my reverie, I look at my clock and see that I've slept the whole day away. I sit up, turn my phone on, and see all the missed calls and voicemails from my dad and Kitty from the night before. I delete those without listening to them, so I don't have to hear the anger in Daddy's voice. Then I see that Peter left me a voicemail, too. When I see his name on my phone, my heart does a little dive into my stomach. There are texts, too, wondering where I am. I call him back, but he doesn't answer, so I figure he must be training. I leave a message telling him to just come over when he gets back home. We're supposed to go to Steve Bladell's party tonight. I'm nervous to tell Peter the news. Our plan was set, and now I'm changing things around. But it's not like I knew this door would open for me. He'll understand. I know he will. I flop back on my bed and FaceTime Margot. She's outside walking on her way somewhere. What's up? She asks. Guess what?
What?
I got into UNC! She promptly screams and drops her phone. Thankfully, it falls in the grass. She scrambles to pick it up. She's still screaming, Oh my God! Oh, this is amazing! This is the best news! When did you find out? I roll onto my stomach. Yesterday! Chris and I went to visit last night, and Gogo, it was so much fun! We went to see a band play, and we danced, and we screamed ourselves silly. My throat is sore.
So wait, you're going, right?
Yes!
Margot screams again, and I laugh.
What's UNC's campus like? She demands.
Well, it's a lot like UVA. I've heard that. I've heard the campuses are very similar. The towns, too. Both liberal, but Chapel Hill maybe even a little more so. Lots of great minds there. I can't wait to look at the course book with you.
She starts walking again.
You're going to love it there. Maggie Cohen, she was a year above me. She loves it. You should talk to her.
Beaming, Margot says to me,
This is when everything begins, Lara Jean. You'll see.
After I get off the phone with Margot, I take a bubble bath and do all my rituals. Face mask, loofah, brown sugar lavender scrub. In the bath, I practice what I'm going to say to Peter.
There are two trees on opposite sides, and their branches meet in the middle.
I stay in for so long, Kitty screams at me to hurry up. When I get out of the tub, I dry my hair and then curl it. I redo my nails, and I even apply the lemon cuticle cream I bought but never remember to use. Daddy, Trina, and Kitty have gone out to see a movie, so I'm all alone in the house when Peter arrives around 8. He's wearing new UVA sweats. His hair is freshly washed and still damp. He smells like Dove soap, which I love on him. He pulls me in for a hug, leaning his body weight into me.
I'm so sore, he says, falling onto the living room couch. Can we not go to Steve's tonight? I just want to stay here and hang out with you and not have to talk to people. I'm fucking exhausted.
Sure, I say, and take a deep breath to tell him my news. But then he looks up at me with weary eyes.
Those guys on the team are in incredible shape. It was hard to keep up.
I frown. Hey, you're in good shape, too.
Not as good as them. I need to get my act together.
He rubs the back of his neck.
So are you finally going to tell me where you were last night?
I sit down on the couch and face him, my legs tucked under my butt. I put the backs of my hands to my cheeks, which feel flushed. Then I put them in my lap. Well, okay. I pause. Are you ready for this? He laughs.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, this is so crazy, but I was in North Carolina with Chris. Peter raises his eyebrows.
Weird. Okay, go on.
I was there because I got into UNC. He blinks.
Wow, that's awesome.
I take another deep breath. I didn't think I'd want to go there, but then when Chris and I visited, the town was really charming, and the people were really nice, and there's this bench by the old well where if you lie down and look up, two trees on opposite sides, they meet in the middle. Their branches touch, like this. I start to demonstrate, and then I stop because I realize Peter isn't really listening. He's staring into space. What are you thinking?
Does this mean you're going there now and not William and Mary?
I hesitate. Yes. He nods to himself.
I'm happy for you. I am. It just sucks that you're going to be so far away. Like, if I had to get in my car and drive to Chapel Hill right now, I'd fall asleep at the wheel. How far away is Charlottesville from Chapel Hill? 4 hours?
I feel a sinking sensation in my stomach. 3 hours and 25 minutes. I know it sounds long, but I swear it goes by fast.
That's double how long it takes to get from Charlottesville to William and Mary. And that's without traffic.
He drops his head back against the couch. It's not double, I say quietly. It's an extra hour and a half. He looks over at me, and I see the regret in his eyes.
I'm sorry. I'm just really wiped right now. This is going to be a lot harder than I thought it would be. Not you and me, but college. I'm going to be at practice 24/7, and when I'm not at practice, I'm training, or I'm in class, or I'm sleeping. It's going to be intense. Nothing like high school. There's a lot of pressure, and I didn't think you'd be so far away.
I've never seen him like this before. He looks so defeated.
When it comes to lacrosse, to school, he's always so easygoing, so confident. Everything's always come easily for him.
Peter, you're going to be great. You're just starting out. Once you get the hang of things, it'll be like always.
Shyly, I say, and we'll get the hang of things too. All of a sudden, he sits up straight.
You know what? Let's go to that party.
Are you sure?
Sure. You're all dressed up. Let's not waste your hair.
He pulls me toward him.
Let's celebrate your big W.
I put my arms around him and hug him to me. His shoulders feel tight. I can feel the tension in his back. Most boys wouldn't notice a thing like that, that I curled my hair, put on a blouse. I try to concentrate on that, and not how he didn't really congratulate me. Chapter 26. At Steve Bledel's house, a bunch of people are in the family room smoking pot and watching soccer on the huge flat-screen TV mounted on the wall. Lucas is here, and when I tell him my big news, he picks me up and spins me around.
You're getting out of here, too!
He shouts. Well, I'm only going next door to North Carolina, I say, laughing. What an unexpected thrill to say those words out loud. It's not that far.
But it's away.
Lucas sets me back down on the floor and puts his hands on my cheeks.
This is going to be very good for you, Lara Jean.
You think?
I know it.
I'm in the kitchen getting myself a Coke when Genevieve walks in, barefoot, wearing a Virginia Tech hoodie and carrying a beer in a Virginia Tech koozie. She sways on her feet before saying,
I heard you got into Chapel Hill. Congrats.
I wait for the whammy, the underhanded little dig, but it doesn't come. She just stands there, a little drunk, but sober enough. Thank you, I say. Congrats on Tech. I know you always wanted to go there. Your mom must be happy.
Yeah. Did you hear Chrissy's going to Costa Rica? Lucky bitch.
She takes a sip of her beer.
Chapel Hill and here are pretty far away, huh?
Not that far, just 3 hours, I lie.
Well, good luck with that. I hope he stays as devoted to you as he is today. But knowing him, I seriously doubt it.
Then she lets out a loud belch, and the look of startled surprise on her face is so funny, I almost laugh out loud. For a second, it looks like she might too, but then she stops herself. Glares, and leaves the kitchen. I only catch glimpses of Peter throughout the night, talking to other people, swigging on his beer. He seems to be in a better mood. He's smiling. His face is a little flushed from the beer. He's drinking a lot more than I've seen him drink. Close to one, I go looking all around the house for Peter, and when I find him, he's with a bunch of people playing flip cup on the ping pong table in Steve's garage. They're all cracking up over something he just said. He sees me standing at the top of the steps and beckons to me.
Come play with us, Covey, he says, too loudly.
My feet stay planted on the steps. I can't. I have to get home. His smile slips.
All right, I'll take you.
No, it's fine. I'll get a ride or call an Uber to come get me. I turn to leave and Peter follows me.
Don't do that. I'll take you, he says.
You can't. You're drunk. I try not to make the word sound mean, but it is what it is. He laughs.
I'm not drunk. I've only had 3 beers over the course of, what, 3 hours? I'm fine. You don't drink, so you don't know, but that's nothing. I promise.
Well, I can smell your breath, and I know you wouldn't pass a breathalyzer. Peter peers at me.
Are you mad?
No. I just don't want you driving me home. You shouldn't drive yourself home either. You should just spend the night here.
Oh, you are mad.
He leans closer to me and looks around before he says,
I'm sorry for before. I should have been more excited for you. I was just tired is all.
It's fine, I say. Though it isn't.